You might like to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Then perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts and each class, each person. God, here we are. So thank you. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the book of Hebrews, it's all about growing up and going on. So is that the mood and a movement of God? So when you come to chapter 4, before they cross the Jordan, they are reminded that they were not to stay in Egypt. Egypt is not their home. They're not to stay in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere. That is not their place. So their place is in the land across the Jordan. So when we come to chapter 4, you are reminded in verse 36, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire. Thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. What were the words? And because he loved thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Exodus out of Egypt, verse 38, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above, and upon earth beneath, and there is none else. Now, so they're going to go forward. You have to go forward. Now, is there any little babies have to go forward? They are meant to stay babies. There's no animal that I know, no creature that I know that is meant to stay babies. Everything has to go forward. That's what it is. If you don't go forward, it's not good. My guess would be that most Muslims, and they bow down to Mecca and Medina and all of that, and bow down whatever times a day. They do that by ritual. They do it as an obligation to fulfill their obligation to Allah. And Catholics go and can do what they do. And Protestants go to church, Why do people go? Why are they going to go these holidays? They go because it's part of the obligation to fulfill their obligations as they conceive and understand God and religion. That's what they're doing. Most people are going to come. That's how they go to church. That's what they do. Now, having said that, that's what people do. That's why it's like it is. But that is not God's intent. God's intent is to grow and to know and to grow. Now, so therefore you have to leave and cross the Jordan, etc. And we did that the other day, to remind you. And that when they crossed the Jordan, they had to go in the land. And in the land, they had to grow, they had to occupy their lot for their life. And they had to occupy it. And their enemy was there, the idols were there, their idolatry, Goliath were there. And they had to go and occupy it in time. That's what they had to do. It wasn't the kingdom yet, but that's what they were to do. Now, having said that, now jump over to the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, remember, keep in mind their failure, Israel's failure, to occupy. And their failure to occupy made them so they didn't grow and they didn't know. They were not exercised in the world system versus God, good versus evil. They weren't exercised. So therefore, they didn't discern, didn't distinguish good and evil. They didn't grow. And therefore, and they didn't grow, so if they don't go forward, they'll go backwards. Now, so here's the book of Hebrews, and we came, he's the great high priest, in chapter 5, and we went all the way to verse 14, and I'll read verse 14 for the sake of just sliding along. And strong meat, solid food, belongeth to them who are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They have to be exercised, like in the gym, like an exercise for the Olympics. You got to train, you got to exercise. If you don't exercise, you will not discern. If you don't discern, you aren't going to know the difference between good and evil. And we did that last time with children. Little children don't know good and evil. There comes a point in their growing up, they know good and evil. And that's the point they're guilty. It could vary in age. You don't want to say everyone at age 6, because they might be 16 before they know that. That's pushing it, but so you got that. So having said that, keeping that in mind, and you'll see the little word in verse 14, strong meat, solid food, belongeth to them that are of full age. That's the word perfect, complete, growing up, full age is the good word in this case. Now, having said that, you now come to chapter 6, and the warning continues. Therefore, since you need to exercise and discern, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. The word perfection is the same as the word in verse 14, full age. We've got to go on. We've got to grow up. We've got to go forward. We have to leave. Therefore, leaving the principles. So having said that and keeping that in mind, leaving them, action, you got to take action. You got to grow to go forward. Now, in order to see that, so you catch it, look at verse 3. This we will do, if God permit. This we will do. So, the believers, including the writer of the Hebrews, the penmen, this we will do. So, having said that, we're going to do something. And, we were here, we're now here, and we've got to do something. We've got to what? We've got to go forward. That's verses 6, 9, etc. We've got to go forward. Or we're going to go backwards. Verses 4, 5, 6. There's a choice we've got to make. We were here. We're no longer here. We're over here. We've grown. We've learned something. Therefore, we either are going to grow. Look at up in verse 9 there. Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. We either go forward and grow, or we'll go backwards, which is verse 4, 5, and 6. So you got to make your choice. You got to go forward. That's the whole warning. In the light of Christ providing for us his wonderful, wonderful saving grace, called and exercised under the term his high priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek, that priesthood, is that he's there right now in his perfect humanity, perfect deity here. So what? To have us go forward, not backwards. Now, and that's the movement. So now, verse chapter 6 and verse 1, leaving behind, let us leave behind, it's passive, leave behind, omit, the basic thing, basic, you can pick it up in a sec. We need, whatever we understood, whatever we were doing, we can't do it anymore. We've got to go forward, forward. In other words, we're a little kid using, that's easy. Little children, and we use certain words, we're limited in our vocabulary, and we say them. But as we hit 10 years old, we don't do them anymore. We don't do those words anymore. We've passed it. And for us to go back to that would be silly. You have to go forward. You learn the ABCs. Little child learns the ABCs. That's wonderful. The alphabet. But we don't use the alphabet. We talk, we read, we come, we go, and we don't say A, B, C, D. We've left that. It's basic, elemental, but it's the basis to send us forward to get from here to there, from there to here, I should say, to get us to go forward. So we got to leave behind the teaching, the realities, the awesome realities of what we knew. Now remember, Jewish people, Hebrews is bringing the Old Testament and Old Testament wonderful things and revealing its outworking in the truths of the Old Testament in the life of Christ as illustrated in his high priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. So we have to leave behind and go forwards. And what do we do? We're going to leave. We'll pick it up and guess jump ahead, I guess. And the word, and you'll pick up the leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. The word doctrine is the word, the doctrine, the teaching. So let us leave behind the doctrine of Christ, the teaching, the word of Christ. Let us leave behind. Now, Christ isn't being left behind, but the word is, the beginning of the word. That which is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That which you learned in the beginning, you leave behind. And what are we going to do? We're going to go on to perfection. Wonderful, wonderful forward to perfection. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if I can, over to Hebrews in chapter 10. And in chapter 10, verse 4, you'll catch it, the flavor of it. If I can, chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So all the sacrifices, we did them, thousands of them. They can never take away sin. So would you keep doing sacrifices that Christ has died? Because all the sacrifices did nothing. All they did is say something that you believed to personally and publicly, that you believe Christ would die on the cross. But if we keep doing sacrifices, that's no good. Got to get past that. That's no good. And in the light of that, do that ahead, I guess. Well, Romans chapter 10 sums it up for us pretty quick. Romans 10, and picking up, in verse 3. Verse 3, for they, Jews, they need to be saved. They need to be saved. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. 10:3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And if I don't put my watch down, we're in trouble. Okay, they have not done so. Why? It'll come up here in the list of six things. They're trying to get good enough. They're trying to do that, to get right enough. But they never, 1,000 sacrifices. Think how many in Solomon's day when dedicated the temple. Thousands of animals. Not literally. That's hard to believe. But all those thousands of animals in that one time did nothing. So all of that, if we keep trying to get better, we aren't going to get better. Because it's our own efforts and energies, we're trying to do this and that. Verse 4, the righteousness that we need. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So we need to understand, we need to have a relationship to Christ that makes everything possible. Without that relationship, nothing is possible. Easy to say, John 15:5. You abide in me, and I abide in you, and without me you can what? Without me you can do nothing. It's pretty simple. You're trying to do something that you can't do. You're trying to make yourself what you can't make yourself. God made you for it, but when you leave God out, you can't achieve that. So now, having said that little bit, back over to Hebrews. And if I can, they're going to have to go to an abandon, as it were. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the word of Christ, let us go on to perfection. The word perfection, remember, is to completeness, etc. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and maybe we'll look at that just because it's going to help you. By the way, well, I'll do that little thought or two. Do you see in verse 1, let us go on? That's including the writer. The writer, the penman, is saved. Let us go on. That's important. Down to verse 3. This will we do. So it's us doing something. Not them need to do something. It's us doing something. Us doing it. And that's important. And there's the word fullness we read in verse 14 in chapter 5. The word perfection in chapter 6 is the same word, to complete, full, finish, to grow, to know, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to chapter 7 and just watch it. So here's perfection. Remember, we have to grow if we don't go forward. And sacrifices aren't going to do it. Chapter 7 and in verse 11. If therefore perfection, there's your little word each time, were by the Levitical priest put, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? In other words, you can't go on to grow. Look at it again in verse 19. For the law made how much perfect? The law makes nothing perfect. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It doesn't make anything perfect. So here we are, humans on planet Earth, coming and going, but we're supposed to be advancing in a wonderful relationship to God, like we read in verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. By which we draw nigh to God, chapter 9. Chapter 9 and in verse 9, which was a figure in the light of the context, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both sacrifices, gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. It could never make you perfect. So I'm going to keep reading. Here's the fullness, got to grow, but you have to do it the right way. So you can't, you got to grow. And therefore, in verse 9, that could not make him that did service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. He couldn't do it. Chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of things to come and not the very image of the thing, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. You can't get perfect. So we know that what the subject matter is, back over to chapter 6, leaving the first principles, go on to perfection, knowing we can't be perfect with the old. You can't get perfect with A, B, C, D. You can't get perfect 1 + 1 = 2. You can't get perfect that way. You've got to grow. So if you don't grow, you're in trouble. So here's our looking God, and you got to abandon, leave, don't look back, don't go backwards, go forwards, don't stay where you are, don't stand still, move forward. You have to move forward. That's the command, the movement, leaving, abandoning, letting it all go to go forward, separation to go forward. Now, having said that, unto perfection, not laying again the footing of repentance. Now, it's going to give you six things, two of them. There's going to be repentance and dead works, and there's going to be baptism and laying on of hands, and thirdly, resurrection and judgment. Each is a movement. Each is moving. They belong together. You got to, the past, go to eternity. You got to move. You got to leave them. You got to leave these things. As an illustration, you can't stay where you were. You've got to go forward. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, repentance from dead works. Now, so what are we going to do? Look at the works. They're dead. Repentance from dead works. Now, what does that mean? Over to Mark chapter 1. Mark in chapter 1. And you'll catch it. Repentance is fine. There's nothing. You have to repent. It's a Revelation 3. You got to repent. Repent. Nothing wrong with repentance. But repentance from dead works, that's what you've got to understand. And what would they understand? Here we are, we're way back down in history. They're there when John the Baptist, they could still be alive. In the days of John the Baptist, obviously. What did John the Baptist do? Mark chapter 1, and picking up, please, in 1. And in, not Matthew, Mark 1, and in verse 4, picking up, Mark 1, 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, if you were baptized by John the Baptist, you weren't saved. You know, Acts 19. That doesn't save you. All it does say is that you realize you need to be saved, to say it simply. You need to be saved. There's nothing you can do to work better and get gooder like the Pharisees. There's nothing you can do. You've got to realize you need a Savior. John is, of course, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, his baptism is unto repentance. You recognize you need to be saved. And you, all that you're doing are dead works. That all that you do and think and say will never, never save you. Verse 15. And in verse chapter 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's John's wonderful ministry. And he's going to tell them, you've got to believe the Lord Jesus Christ is going to die on the cross, etc. Now, so they get repentance from dead works. You got to leave that. You can't just stay, well, I was baptized by John, isn't that enough? No. And remember, there are seven baptisms, so we'll look at them just for the sake of review. But in this case, that isn't the word. So therefore, over with me to Acts chapter 19. And in Acts chapter 19, picking up, please, if I can, Acts 19, you'll see it in Acts 19, verse 4. This is on John the Baptist's baptism. Then said Paul, I just mentioned it. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They understand it wasn't sufficient. Chapter 20. Chapter 20, and if I can, in verse 21, testifying Paul, saying, I'll read verse 20, context, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying, what are you saying, both to the Jews and to the Greeks, Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's John Baptist. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repentance from dead works. Hebrews chapter 6. Repentance from dead works and faith toward God. We just read that in verse 21. Faith toward God. So God, we're looking for that faith. So looking. Over, if you would please, to Galatians. Faith towards God. You've got to go forward. They believe, they did certain things. There's all kinds of people that say, you know this. Think of people that have been baptized. You come to church, I see you there. I said, do you want to join the club? I don't say it that way. Do you want to be Christ? But join the club. And all those that want to join the club, come forward. And I got my tank and I baptize you. And you walk back out, dry off, walk back out, and there you go. Now, do I need to do anything else? I get baptized. And lots of people feel, you listen to them sometime, are you saved? Oh, I've been baptized. That's why I've been baptized. So therefore, you have to go forward. If you don't go forward, then your baptism didn't mean very much, did it? Now, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. Remember what you read in Hebrews 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them that believe. He's the end of the law. If righteousness can come by the law, doing the right things, then Christ died in vain. He didn't need to die. But the trouble is, the law can only condemn you. It doesn't save you. Verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. By faith, got to believe. Now keep going, because it's all going to make it clear. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Remember what Israel, the Ten Commandments? You got to just believe the wonderful promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They aren't going to do that. All that you say, God, we will do, we're going to do it. That's how they got the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments come because you're going to do it. You want to do it? Let's see you do it. Here's the standard. Here's the Ten Commandments. This is what I expect out of a man, a woman, boy or girl, perfectly. Well, we can't. We can't. So Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And we got to believe. That's what's saying. You got to have faith. Repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Those two belong together. So, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, under the faith which should after be revealed. That's what I just was trying to explain to you. How was Israel kept from being in the world? The law. They had to dress right, eat right, walk right, worship right. They had to do all these things. Did they do them they didn't even understand, they did them. And the priest had to dress a certain way, and they had to sacrifice in a certain way, and they couldn't eat in a certain way. What was it? Because they're under the law to help them. So they're busy trying to keep all this. So they what? Would keep them from idolatry, would keep them from being caught up in the system, which they ended up doing. Now, so therefore, verse 24, it was a schoolmaster. Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And so Israel was kept by the law, by the law, by the law, by the law, until Christ died on the cross. That was their opportunity to believe, and they rejected him. They rejected him. This opportunity. So they're going to keep the law. That's what they're going to do. Now, having said that, Galatians is helping us believers. Verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, the jailer. The jailer had us in jail. The schoolmaster had us in class. So we're busy trying to learn things over and over and over again. Chapter 3, verse 26. For if we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, For as many of you as have been baptized, placed into, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither, you're no more a Jew, you're no more a Greek, even though you are in the flesh. You're no more a Jew or Gentile. There is neither born nor free. There is neither male nor female. You're not a male, you're not a female. That's what you're not. That should help that. Anyway, I don't want to say that. Forget that. That'll cure the whole thing. Get saved, and then you don't have to bother figuring out, like the Supreme Court Justice, I don't know what I am. You know, I don't know whether I'm a woman or not. You know, it'd be a good question to ask, wouldn't it? Well, are you a woman? You don't know what you are. No, that'd be good. That's a wonderful court coming up. Anyway. Neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So therefore, God, faith. You've got to have faith. Faith. Wonderful, wonderful faith. You've got to have belief, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. But we don't have to look at the stars and realize God's so great, he is, and we should look at the stars, but we're past that. We're looking directly. Where is our faith put? In God's word, that's good. Where's The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh. Where's our faith? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I got to go to Christ. So I have to move on. I have to move on in faith, repentance from dead works, and faith. I need to move on. Hebrews. And remember now, the high priesthood, in case we missed that. Here's the Aaronic priesthood. You already went through that in Hebrews so far. Christ is not after the order of Aaron, priesthood. He's after the order of Melchizedek. So the high, if I was back then as a person living, a Jew, or even it could be a Gentile, proselyte or something, I am the priest, priest sacrifice, the priest go in the temple, priest do this. But that priesthood, all that they're doing is never going to work. Christ is the high priest, and all they did is point to him like the sacrifices pointed to him. So the priesthood, I've got to go on. What's the book of Hebrews? Christ is the great high priest. You've got to get on with it. If you're back here still talking about this and reading this and saying that, and then you aren't going to go forward because you're way back here and you got to go forward in all of this. So now, having said that and looking for God to do what he does in a most, and while you're here, might as well do nine and chapter 14, Hebrews 9. And 14. And you will notice, to say it easily, dead works, remember, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from what? Dead works. To serve the living God. So we're looking to God's wonderful, wonderful grace and God's wonderful, wonderful teaching. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, back over to Hebrews 6. So there's we got to go on, perfection. We got to keep going. We don't want to do again the foundation. Nothing wrong with the foundation, nothing wrong with how we get from A to B to C, nothing wrong with that. But you can't stay at A, you can't stay in the foundation. You're all here and here. Now, when was the last time, as you enjoy up here, when was the last time you thought about the foundation down below? When was the last time you did that? The reason you're here is because of the foundation. But when was the last time you thought about the foundation? Here's the big cement floor down below, and that doesn't go away. You're resting on the cement floor. And here you're resting on 3 inches of cement underneath that sheeting. So we're resting. But we don't think of the foundation. We don't think of when I was a baby. You'd have to look at your picture and say something, but you aren't there. You're forward. You must go forward. So therefore, the second pair, the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, and the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands. So we got those two. And in the process, the doctrine of baptisms. And the word baptism is the word washing, washing, washing. And go back over to chapter 9 and you'll see it. Chapter 9 and in verse 10. Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers. You see the word washing? That's the same as the word baptism in that you have in chapter 6 and in verse 2. There's different words of baptism. This is the word baptism, washings, washings, washings. So we're looking at the word washings in particular, the washings. And washings was something that people did. They did that. Was that Old Testament? Yes, it is. Go with me, please, over to Leviticus. And Leviticus, if I can, in chapter 6. Chapter 8 for time. Chapter 8. And you will notice in Leviticus chapter 8, just one little statement quickly, verse 6. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. All the things they did with water, lots and lots and lots and lots of water. Chapter 11. And chapter 11, verse 25. And whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be clean even until, and be unclean even until evening. And verse 28. And he that beareth the carcass of them that shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening, when they are unclean unto you. Verse 40. And he that eateth of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. He also that beareth the carcass of it shall wash his hands, his clothes, and be unclean until the... So they're washing. Also, all kinds of washings. Clean. Why? This is the law. And clean. You're clean. Got to be clean. Can't be dirty. Clean. That's why they... like in Deuteronomy, etc. They had to make sure their grounds, we've read it how many times, the grounds, so when they had to use the bathroom, as it were, they had to make sure everything was covered. So why? Because God walked in the midst of the camp. He didn't want to walk in anything. And he says it, the ground is holy. Waste. Cover it. I don't want to see it. It's clean. Got to be clean. Washings. So, are you washed? We wash. We don't do this anymore. Go with Mark. You'll see it. Mark chapter 7. What were they doing back then? Understandably, they understand it. Clean. You have to be clean. So Mark. And chapter 7. May I go, please? 7. And in verse 2. And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled. Some eat bread. That is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. They ate the sandwich without washing their hands. They're pointing at them. Verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they expect, they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Now that doesn't mean for us washing your hands. It means for them. They would do it. It's a tradition. It's part of the law. You gotta wash your hands. You gotta leave that. Well, I got saved. What do you get saved? What I'm doing, washing my hands. What are you doing that for? Because I'm saved. Oh, no. Oh, it's part of your history. Drop it. Don't do that. You don't have to do that anymore. Why are you doing it? Because it says wash your hands. The Pharisees wash their hands. Busy. Got to wash your hands. No, not anymore. You're saved. You got to move forward, grow, and develop. And therefore, in verse 4, And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things where there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. They washed everything. It'd be like the COVID when they were all with it. You wash everything. Wash your nose and wash everything. You know, kill the germs. The germs are everywhere. That's what they did. You got to leave it. The washing of baptisms. Got to leave. Got to go forward. Now, Having said that, and keeping that in mind, in the light of that, now, remember now, just to keep fresh in your mind, there are baptisms. Now, the washings are not the same as the baptisms, and there are seven of them, and four are real, three are ritual. Four real, three ritual. And do you know them? Well, that's what I was going to give it to you. So, and we'll do the same thing if the Lord tarries and we ever live that long. I was going to do the same thing because coming up in Hebrews 6 are the resurrections. Are the resurrections. So what about the resurrections, see? So I thought Easter Sunday, Sunday school, would be a great place to do that section. The resurrection. What are the resurrections and how do they work? Well, anyway, so remember there's four. And there's the baptism of Moses. Do you want to look at them? Okay, just so you know. Because if someone ever asks you, you never know. Someone in work might say to you, do you know what the baptisms are? You know? Or when you go to the grocery store and you're pushing your cart through and someone behind you says, by the way, do you know what the baptisms are? What are you going to tell them? See? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the Red Sea and were all baptized, there's your word, to be placed into, immersed into Moses in the cloud, in the sea. So in the middle of the dry crossing of 4.5 miles, whatever it is, they were baptized. They participated in the event. They actually put their feet on dry land and walked that journey. That's what they did. They actually did that. And the cloud, they actually lived under the cloud by day and the fire by night. They actually did this. It was a real, 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 real thing. It wasn't make-believe. Over to Matthew chapter 22. Baptism of Moses, and then there's the baptism of the cup of our Lord, chapter 20, and if I can, in verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink at the cross? Never. And to the baptism, to be immersed into the baptism that I am baptized with. I'm going to go and be baptized. I'm going to be immersed. I'm going to identify with your death. I am going to die for you. Are you able to do that? No, no, no. So therefore, it's a real, real. Moses, that was a real thing. The Spirit of God, the baptism of our Lord Jesus, of the cross, I should say, is a real, real thing, a most wonderful thing. Over, if I can, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12. And this is where we come in. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, picking up, if I may, or you'll catch it quickly in verse 13. For by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized, placed into one body. Whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be born to free, we have been made all to drink into one Spirit. That's when you're placed, get saved, and you're placed into the body of Christ. That is a real event. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're placed into his body. That's what the Spirit of God, that's a real event. Like Moses, like our Lord drinking, you are having to have, when you get baptized, get saved, you have the real, real exercise and experience the Spirit of God places you into His wonderful Son as His body. Wow, hang on to that. Now, having said that, and fourthly, over if I can, Matthew. Matthew in chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, picking up, please, verse 11. Indeed, John the Baptist, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize, place you with the Holy Ghost, that's what we just read. The second thing he's going to do is with fire, and that's judgment. The Spirit of God's going to save us wonderfully. The Spirit of God's going to judge us awesomely. People, heaven, hell, Spirit of God is going to do it. Wow. Wow. Now, that's four. Four. But there are three rituals. Three rituals. That's it. In other words, you know, over if I can, we are identified with water baptism, the Spirit of God, John, over here, John chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3. And in Matthew chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 6. And we're baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. That's ritual. We just read that in Repentance from Dead Works. Ritual. In other words, that when John the Baptist baptized them, they came forward like we could go into the water as Christians, believers. They came forward, he baptized them in the water. They were saying, by my baptism, I recognize I have no good thing in me. I need Christ as my Savior. I repentance from dead works. That's what I do. That's a ritual. The real thing was John the Baptist and what he did. What he did was a ritual baptism, pointing to the wonderful relationship they were to have to Christ. Now, also that, in Matthew chapter 3, where you're here, Matthew 3, picking up the second ritual, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending from like above, lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the Lord Jesus' baptism. That's ritual. What was he saying? John baptized him in the water. It wasn't under repentance. No, it was because he's the righteous one. Is he the righteous one? Is he going to exercise God's will and go to the cross? The real, my cup, the real event, was symbolized by his water, being baptized in the water. John introduced Christ's public ministry for 3 1/3 years. That's what John did. He's the one. That's a ritual. And the third ritual is ours. Chapter 28, all Matthew. I gotta quit. Matthew chapter 28, the third ritual. Verse 19, go therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing, there's your little word, them in the name of the Father, singular, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's our believer's baptism. Because we're saved. That's what you have to say when you baptize. Am I saved? That means I'm part of the body of Christ. You're supposed to show that. That's why water baptism is ritual. It's showing what? It's showing that I belong to Christ. That's what it's supposed to do. That's why you do it. I belong to Christ. So any question? How do you belong to Christ? Well, I believe. Well, how else? I'm going to show you. Christ died for me, buried, and he rose again. Water baptism is a ritual. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Wonderful thing. Go on to perfection. You got to grow. You can't stay still. Stay still, you'll go backwards. You don't go forwards. Anyway, thank you.